Arithmetic's diagram. Assumption defense. The assumption defense is a quick 4-point defense with a long defensive line of forbiddance at the top. It is preferred by those who wish to attack from the sides. A Mark's cross structure at the top bind point offers further defense while also serving to anchor the entire piece. This is a small 4-point circle adjoined to the top of the defense with 2 crossed lines of forbiddance drawn within it. Note that this defense also has a long line of forbiddance between the Mark's cross and the main line of warding to block enemy lines of vigor. Once this line is in place, no further lines can be drawn on the other side. Optional chalklings at the side bind points offer a flank defense against attacking chalklings. Chapter 8. Joel crossed the lawn toward the dining hall. The campus wasn't very full. Over half of the students would be gone for the summer. Many of the staff took the summers off, too, and even some of the professors were gone, off in France or Joséon Britannia, doing research and attending symposiums. Still, lunch was likely to be a little crowded, so he rounded the building and ducked through a back door into the kitchens. They were normally off-limits to students, but Joel wasn't just a student. Hextilda herself was supervising the lunch duties that day. The large woman nodded to Joel.
"Joel, lad," she said in her thick Scottish accent, "you enjoying your first day of summer?"
"Spent it trapped in a professor's dungeon," Joel said. "He had me reading census records."
"Ah," she said. "Well, you should know that I have news."
Joel raised an eyebrow.
"My son has gotten our whole family a traveler's permit to visit the homeland. I'll be leaving in a month's time."
"That's fantastic, Hextilda."
"First time any McTavish will have set foot on our own soil since my great-grandfather was driven out. Those dirty sonnies, forcing us to have a permit to visit our own land."
The Scots had lasted a long time in their highlands, fighting the Joséon invasion before being driven out. Trying to convince a Scot that the land was no longer theirs was next to impossible. "So," Joel said, "want to celebrate by giving me a sandwich so I don't have to wait in line?" Hextilda gave him a flat look. But less than 5 minutes later, she delivered one of her signature, well-stacked sandwiches. Joel took a bite, savoring the salty flavor of the wood-smoked haddock as he left the kitchens and started across campus. Something was going on. The way Principal York had acted, the way Fitch had closed the notebook when Joel approached. It was suspicious. So how could he get more involved? "Fitch did warn me that the life of an arithmetist wasn't glamorous," he reminded himself. "But there has to be a way." Perhaps he could figure out on his own what Fitch was researching. Joel thought for a moment. Then he looked down at the last few bites of sandwich in his hand, an idea forming in his head. He rushed back to the dining hall. A few minutes later, he left the kitchen with 2 more sandwiches, each in a small paper sack. He ran across the campus green to the office. Florence and Exton looked up when Joel entered.
"Joel, didn't expect to see you today. It's summer."
"I'm not here to work. I'm just here to say hello."
"What, you think that because it's summer I'm never going to drop by?"
Florence smiled. Today she wore a green summer dress, her curly blonde hair tamed in a bun.
"How thoughtful.
I'm sure Exton will be pleased for the diversion." Exton continued to write at one of his ledgers.
"Oh, yes. I'm excited to have yet another item striving to distract me from the 200 end-of-term grade reports I must fill out and file before the week is over. Delightful."
"Ignore him, dear," Florence said. "That's his way of saying he's happy to see you."
Joel set the 2 packages on the countertop.
"Well, I have to admit that it's not just a social visit. I was in the kitchens, and the cook thought you two might want something for lunch."
"That's sweet," Florence said, walking over. Even Exton grunted in agreement. Florence handed him a bag, and they immediately began to work on the sandwiches. Joel got out the remnant of his own meal, holding it and taking small bites so that he wouldn't look out of place.
"So," he said, leaning against the counter, "anything exciting happened during the 4 hours since summer started?" Nothing much, Florence said. As Exton already pointed out, there is a lot of busy work this time of year.
Dull, eh? Joel asked. Exton grunted into his sandwich.
Well, Joel said, we can't have federal inspectors visiting every day, I suppose.
That's the truth, Florence said, and I'm glad for it. Quite the ruckus that one caused.
Did you ever figure out what it was about? Joel asked, taking a bite of his sandwich.
Maybe, Florence said, lowering her voice. I couldn't hear what was going on inside the principal's office, of course.
Florence, Exton said warningly.
Oh, hush you, she said. Go back to your sandwich. Anyway, Joel, did you hear about that arithmetic girl who vanished a few days back? Lily Whiting?
Joel nodded.
Poor dear, Florence said. She was a very good student, by the look of her grades.
You read her records? Exton asked.
Of course I did, Florence said. Anyway, from what I've heard, she didn't run away like they're saying in the papers. She had good grades, was well-liked, and got along with her parents.
What happened to her, then? Joel asked.
Murder, Florence said softly.
Joel fell silent.
Murder?
That made sense. After all, a federal inspector was involved. Yet it felt different to have spoken it out loud. It made him remember that they were talking about a real person, not just a logical puzzle.
Murder, he repeated. By a arithmetist, Florence said.
Joel stiffened.
Now, that's just useless speculation, Exton said, wagging a finger at her.
I heard enough before York closed the door, Florence replied. That inspector thinks arithmetist was involved in the killing, and he wanted expert help. It...
She cut off as the door to the office behind Joel opened and closed.
I delivered the message to Haberstock, a female voice said. But I...
Joel groaned.
You!
Melody snapped, pointing at Joel.
See? You are following me.
I just came to...
I don't want to hear your excuses this time, Melody said. I have evidence now.
Melody, Florence said sharply, you're acting like a child.
Joel is a friend. He can visit the office if he wants.
The red-headed arithmetist huffed at that, but Joel didn't want another argument. He figured he'd gotten as much out of Florence as he was going to be able to, so he nodded farewell to the clerks and made his exit.
Killed by arithmetist? Joel thought once outside. How would they know?
Had Lily died in a duel gone wrong? Students didn't know the glyphs that would make a chalkling dangerous. Usually a chalkling drawn with a line of making would be unable to hurt or harm anything other than other chalk drawings. It took a special glyph to make them truly dangerous. That glyph, the glyph of rending, was only taught at Nebraska during the last year of a student's training, when they went to maintain the enormous circle of warding in place around the tower. Still, it was not outside of reason that a student could have discovered it. And if arithmetist had been involved, it would explain why Fitch had been brought in.
Something is happening, Joel thought. Something important.
He was going to find out, but he needed a plan. What if he got through those census records as soon as possible? He could show Fitch how hard he was willing to work, that he was trustworthy. If he could get through those census records quickly, Professor Fitch would have to give him another project, something more involved, something that gave him a better idea of what was going on. Plan in place, he headed back toward Fitch's to ask for a few of the census ledgers to take home with him tonight. He'd been planning to read a novel. He'd found an interesting one set during the Goryeo dynasty in Joseon, during the first days when the Joseon people had turned the Mongols to their side. It would wait. He had work to do.